Welcome to this edition of the Beef Roundtable. I'm Dr. Ron Lemonade, your Beef Extension Specialist at Purdue University.
And I'm Bert Rutherford, Senior Editor with Beef Magazine.
The term sustainability is being referenced every day on social media, agricultural publications, and various other media outlets. Consumers are demanding transparency and have expressed the desire to purchase products that they believe are produced in a sustainable manner. Various groups define sustainability differently and have advocated for individual components that distort sometimes the real facts. For some, the emphasis is on animal care and well-being. For others, it's the perceived environmental impact. And for our producers, while they're concerned not only about the previous two, but they're also concerned about profitability. Producers have held a long-term belief that if we take care of the land, air, water, and animals, they will take care of us. United States Roundtable for Sustainable Beef was created in 2015 to bring producers, allied industry, packers, processors, retail food service, and various society groups together to create a definition, implementation, and communication plan that could be used by all parties to accurately communicate the scientific facts of beef sustainability and its value to society. Why should the beef industry be involved with groups that have both common beliefs and what might be considered antagonistic beliefs? The answer is simple. If we aren't at the table, we really have no say in what's going to be served on the plate. This edition of the Beef Roundtable will explore the sustainability topic and help us understand why the beef industry needs to be engaged in the sustainability discussion.
Let me introduce our first guest. He's Eric Mittenthal, and he's Vice President of Sustainability at the North American Meat Institute, or NAMI, or NAMI, as you might see it in print. Eric leads the Meat Institute's sustainability initiatives, and he also focuses on developing communications to bust the myths about the role of meat in the diet and how meat is produced.
Our second guest is Hannah Thompson Weeman, Vice President and Communications Director for Animal Ag Alliance. Since joining the Alliance in 2014, Hannah has led the development and implementation of communications to help connect consumers and influencers with factual information about modern food production. She monitors and responds to misinformation about food production and reaches out to the media and other stakeholders with accurate, science-based resources about modern animal agriculture. As we kind of begin this segment, we probably need to talk a little bit about what roles the Alliance plays in animal agriculture. So Hannah, talk a little bit about the Alliance.
The Animal Agriculture Alliance is a nonprofit with the mission of bridging the communication gap between farm and fork. So everything we do is about communicating accurate, science-based information about animal agriculture. Most of the time, that ends up being modern, large-scale animal agriculture with key audiences. I probably don't have to tell most of you how many myths and how much misinformation is out there about animal agriculture, whether it's how we care for our animals or our impact on the environment. So that's what the Alliance is here to do, is bringing together everyone in the industry so we can speak with a united voice on behalf of the entire animal agriculture industry. We got started back in 1987, so we've been around and working on these issues for over 30 years now, and our key focus has historically been animal welfare, but more and more today, there's so much overlap within the sustainability conversation that we're dedicating more of our efforts in that area. And our membership, which ranges from farmers and ranchers to commodity groups, trade associations, companies, animal health, nutrition, genetics, they're all very interested in seeing the Alliance focus on the sustainability conversation as well. So we're here to bring together everyone throughout the whole food chain and speak with a united voice so we can bridge the communication gap between farm and fork.
Let's talk a little bit about the North American Meat Institute.
Yeah, the North American Meat Institute is a trade association for meat packers and processors. We've been around since 1906. and our members produce 95% of the red meat in the U.S., so beef, pork, lamb, and veal, and we represent 70% of the turkey in the U.S., and our membership is really the whole gamut of the packer processor industry, everyone from your very largest Tyson, Cargill, JBS, to a very small Uncle Charlie's sausage company and everybody in between. We represent the entirety of the industry and have done so for many years in D.C.
Eric, let's just look at the overall sustainability conversation. You know, a lot of that sustainability conversation out there in the public realm seems to be kind of negative about animal agriculture and particularly beef. So why should we, beef business, the red meat business, adopt a term that doesn't seem to have a lot of positive connotation for us?
Yeah, I think a lot more about the actions as opposed to the term itself. I think if you went to 100 different people on the street and asked them, what does sustainability mean to you? We probably got 100 different answers. And so it's something that has a different meaning for everybody. And so a lot of people focus on the environmental impact part of it. But for us at the Meat Institute, sustainability is really a holistic idea. And so when we're thinking about sustainability, what we're thinking about is the environmental impact of our industry, but then also food safety and animal welfare, nutrition, and labor and human rights as well. And that's very consistent with the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef and other groups out there that are looking at it from a holistic perspective and with a focus of being where consumers are and earning consumer trust, because that's our goal related to sustainability is what actions do we need to take to earn consumer trust in our products and make sure that we're meeting consumers where their expectations are related to our products.
Hannah, do you have a different perspective on that, or are you consistent with that?
I think, like Eric said, there's more to this than the terminology, but I also think that words do matter, and we need to make sure that the words we're using when we talk about our goals and our work are matching up with what consumers are talking about. And I think that's why we hear maybe some hesitation around using words. Even us at the Alliance, some people are kind of hesitant to jump in and talk proudly about animal welfare because that phrase is used by groups that have a very different definition of animal welfare than we do. And just like sustainability, there are some groups out there that have a very different definition of sustainability than what we as farmers and ranchers or people in animal agriculture would have. But we really can't let that make us shy away from being part of the conversation because, like it or not, those voices are very loud. They're being heard. They're out there in those public arenas. So I think if we opt out of the conversation because we don't like some of the other voices that are in it or we aren't comfortable with the words that are being used, we're going to be missing a big opportunity and the train's going to leave the station without us on it. So I think it's really important for us to pay attention to what consumers are really asking. Like Eric said, what are they saying? How can we build trust with them and make sure we're in those same spaces, even if, again, some of the terminology might make you a little hesitant or wonder why we would use words that are being used against us. But like it or not, again, those are the words that are being used in the public dialogue. So if we aren't there, we aren't part of that, we're not at the table, we're not going to be able to really set the stage and what the future might be for our industry.
Well, this question is kind of for both of you, and we'll start with Hannah. And so my question really is, what's the Animal Ag Alliance or the North American Meat Institute, and quite honestly, probably the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, doing to combat misinformation about animal agriculture's well-being, environmental impact, et cetera?
As I mentioned, the mission of the Alliance is to bridge the communication gap between farm and fork and share accurate, positive information about animal agriculture. We're doing a lot of that really focused around three key areas that I think all kind of fall under the idea of sustainability in different ways. The first of those is, again, been our bread and butter since the very beginning back in the late 80s, and that's animal welfare. So how do we care for animals on farms, in ranches, throughout the whole production chain? What's our commitment? What guidelines are out there? That really remains, again, a big part of our messaging. And then within that umbrella, responsible antibiotic use. So how are we using antibiotics responsibly to maintain animal health and produce safe products for consumers? And then another area that, again, I mentioned we've gotten more and more into in the past few years is the environmental impact of animal agriculture. So what impact are we having on the planet? What are we doing to continuously improve and reduce that impact and ensure that we're able to efficiently and sustainably produce the products that the vast majority of people enjoy? And then as part of that, nutrition. So what is the role of meat, poultry, dairy, and eggs in the healthy, balanced diet and kind of reassuring people of the health benefits of those products? As a kind of convener of information, as I mentioned, we're that united voice. We bring together a lot of different perspectives in animal agriculture. The role of the Alliance is kind of compiling and communicating all of the great efforts that are being done by the various sectors of the industry. So different groups like the Roundtable for Sustainable Beef are putting measurements in place. They're setting goals. They're evaluating where we are currently and where we can go into the future. And the Alliance really tries to bring together all of that and package it in a consumer-friendly, easily communicated way to get that message across to different audiences. And we do that, again, on animal welfare, sustainability, and all those key areas that we work on. Being a nonprofit and a small team, we're always trying to maximize our time and resources. So we describe our approach as influencing the influencers. We aren't trying to go to the end consumer. That's a very difficult audience, a very expensive audience to reach. So what the Alliance does is tries to find the people, companies, organizations that are really seen as thought leaders and seen as influential within their own communities and spheres of influence on food and agriculture issues. And that's who we really try to target and have these conversations with. So a lot of that is restaurant and retail brands who are making really impactful decisions for their supply chains, dietitians, bloggers, folks on social media, and of course, media outlets as well.
Eric, same question. Yeah.
I think from our perspective, we work very closely with groups like the Animal Ag Alliance and others across the industry to share the message and spread the message. And I think one of the things that is really crucial for our industry as a whole is to speak with one voice as loudly and as broadly as we can. Because I think when you look at our critics, one of the things they do exceptionally well is they're able to join together and spread negative messages really easily throughout their own communities and get those spread far and wide. And as an industry, we sometimes fall into the rut of trying to own a message or have one group take credit or really kind of be, you know, sole fighters out there. And the opportunity for us as an industry to come together and spread messages out there together and be aligned on those messages is really important. And that's a key role the Animal Ag Alliance plays. It's something that as we as the Meat Institute that brings together beef and pork and other proteins under one umbrella, we feel like we play as well. And so, you know, we want to amplify all of the positive messages out there from individual groups and then from the groups that bring everybody together as well.
Hannah. What are some of the other groups that are driving this sustainability conversation?
We talked a lot about some of the positive things that the Alliance does, but another really important part of our work is monitoring organizations that are out there with messages about animal agriculture that, again, we may or may not agree with. There are actually, we have group profiles on more than 125 different organizations that we consider to be activist groups who are spreading misinformation and trying to encourage people not to eat our products and not to support our industry. So to Eric's point, as much as we as an industry are trying to steer this conversation and be out there and be part of this, there is a lot of messaging coming from the other side. And I think that really underscores why it's so important for all of us to lend our voices to this dialogue as well, from the farmer rancher level all the way up to the companies that Eric works with, to all the trade associations, commodity groups, and everyone else that might have a story to tell in this area. Now, it is not just extremist groups that we would consider or activist groups that are involved in the sustainability conversation. There are a lot of other organizations that are environmentally focused that might take a more science-based approach. World Wildlife Fund is a leader in this area. Environmental Defense Fund are also voices that are contributing to the sustainability conversation. But it's also not just organizations as well. And I think the first few months of 2020 have really illustrated just how pervasive this conversation has become when we have everything from the Golden Globes to the Oscars to different restaurant brands that saying that they're going to make menu changes in the name of sustainability. This conversation is really everywhere, and there are messages coming from a lot of different directions. And that's partially why it's such a challenge for our consumers to really filter through what's true and what's not true. So I think that's why there's a big burden on us, and really important priority should be for us of elevating the voices out there, the Frank Mitlerners, the Sarah Places of the world, who are really great, really informed spokespeople on these issues. But people aren't hearing from them as much as they're hearing from Joaquin Phoenix, unfortunately. So I think that's really should be a motivating factor for us to make sure that we're being out there in this conversation, because it's happening with or without us.
You know, Hannah, you mentioned, the Environmental Defense Fund and the World Wildlife Federation, and I could add the National Conservancy, the Nature Conservancy to that list, and so forth. Some of our producers have really expressed a concern about partnering with them, okay, on this issue of sustainability. And you kind of mentioned that, if we're not at the table, our voice can't be heard. You know, how's that working relationship, in the U.S. roundtable, those kinds of things, and within the North American Meat Institute?
I mean, first of all, if we're only going to work with groups that completely agree with us, I think even Hannah and I probably wouldn't even be able to work together. I mean, we agree on a lot, but there's certainly things we're not completely aligned, and nobody's ever going to be completely aligned with everybody. So for that to be the standard, I think is very unrealistic. Within the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, I think one of the real advantages of that is that they bring together stakeholders from really throughout the supply chain and other interested groups like the World Wildlife Fund and Nature Conservancy. And so you have a really strong group of producers and, everybody from cow-calf to feedlot operators to packer processors to retailers who all have a really strong voice in the direction of what they're doing there. But then you also have the groups who are able to provide their perspective as well. And so you're able to craft a really strong, really strong goals and a framework that aims to address what consumer concerns are. And I think that's the one thing that the Meat Institute and a lot of us throughout the industry are really focused on is what is it that consumers need to hear from us and are really concerned about. And if we're not engaging some of those outside groups that consumer trust as a third party, and we're solely coming out as the meat industry and saying we're doing this, and this, it hurts our message. We need those third-party validators out there to say, yes, I agree with what the meat industry is doing, and what they're doing is beneficial for us and for the planet and for our health, and give consumers that confidence that it's not just the meat industry saying we're doing it, that others agree that what we're doing is the right thing.
So it's really about finding the common ground, right, among all these different groups? Hannah, respond.
Sorry, you broke up on that question.
I said, I think it's really about finding the common ground among all the groups, okay, and creating that unified voice of what the message should be, okay, for consumers, for that transparency and the trust that you have already mentioned. Hannah, any other aspects of this that we're missing?
I think sometimes that people might lose some of the shades of gray in different organizations out there. If you look at a spectrum of organizations from groups like the Alliance at Meat Institute, who we are totally 100% supportive of animal agriculture, modern animal agriculture, that's why we're here. And if the other side of that long spectrum is PETA, there's a lot of in-between there of groups that, again, we might not have all the same priorities, we might not agree on everything, but there is certainly room for common ground. And we try as the Alliance to really communicate that message because, like I mentioned, a big part of our work is monitoring the activist groups, and we know a lot of them are disingenuous about who they really are and what they really want. So the last thing we would ever do is encourage groups to partner with organizations that we aren't sure have the opportunity for common ground and are science-based and do believe in continuous improvement and finding ways to work together. So I think it's really important. You know, certainly we aren't saying that all the adversarial groups out there we should all start partnering with. That's the opposite message that we'd like to say. But when you do find those very, very rare partners like Environmental Defense Fund, Nature Conservancy, WWF, who are science-based, who do have a demonstrated record of partnering with large companies and with the industry as a whole to support continuous progress, we've got to take those chances and take those opportunities. So we really can't paint all organizations that are outside of the barnyard with the same brush. There already aren't enough of us in animal agriculture, so we can't turn away potential partners who can help give our efforts credibility and help get us in front of different audiences who probably wouldn't give us the time of day if we didn't have those third-party validators in the conversation.
So it's really about...
Well, Hannah and Eric, I'm sorry, Ron, go ahead.
It's really about myth-busting, okay, I think, to a degree. And I think it's really important for our audience to kind of understand that both of your organizations, okay, are here to help the beef industry and the red meat industry and agriculture in its broader sense be successful, right? I mean, you know, when we talk about sustainability, I kind of like to think of it as a three-legged stool, and I think it's, you know, the round table has really kind of said that, right? It's about the social aspects, okay, so all the social concerns, the environmental concerns, and then, you know, the economic piece, which is the profitability piece, and all three have kind of got to go together. Would you agree with that?
They certainly do, yeah, and the economic piece is an important piece. I think we have to make sure that our members and our industry is profitable and able to maintain a business. I think the one thing that we focused on with consumers related to that aspect is it's not all about profit. And so I think sometimes there's the perception that we're simply in it for the bottom line, and we're not. And I think there's lots of evidence that we're not. I mean, the amount of work that already goes on related to improving our environmental impact and for animal welfare, community involvement, and the things that our industry gives back to communities is substantial. And so we want to share that, but we also want to look for the opportunities to further that as well and think about how we can grow that great work and use that as part of the story that we're telling.
Hannah, what are your thoughts in that area?
Absolutely. All of these topics are very interconnected and intertwined, and any decision you make in one area is going to have ripple effects across the others. And that's something we really try to communicate and explain, especially to folks at other parts of the food chain that might not have as much visibility to the on-farm impacts of decisions they're making, like restaurant, retail, food service brands. So the more we can explain the way that agriculture works, the way things are connected, and how we need to take a measured and long-term approach to being all on the same page about what sustainability looks like and how we can continuously improve, the better. So all the efforts being done within the industry to define that, all the roundtable efforts, groups that are looking to set very ambitious and aggressive goals, that is all extremely worthwhile work. And again, I think the role of the Alliance is to help communicate that. So we're looking forward to being able to get that message out there that we aren't just happy with where we are today. We want to get further and further. We want to continue to improve, be more efficient, reduce our impacts, and do that in a responsive way that keeps all of the legs of that stool in mind.
Great. Eric and Hannah, any other thoughts that you think are important for folks in the beef industry to keep in mind as we continue on this journey of sustainability?
I think I would add on to something Hannah just said. A lot of the critics of the industry, you know, when they talk about our industry and say, you know, if this doesn't change, if this doesn't change, you know, here's where we're going to be in 50 years. Well, if anybody looks at our industry and agriculture in general, I think they would clearly see that we are a very adaptable industry and have changed significantly over the course of many decades and will continue to change over the course of the further decades. And so, you know, we are looking forward and thinking about what are the things we need to do as an industry to be the best for people and the planet, for our members and for our suppliers and producers who are involved in the industry, looking at it holistically to think about, you know, where do we need to go over the next decade plus to really show who we are as an industry and how we're adapting to the world at large and meeting consumer needs and expectations.
Well, we'd really like to thank Eric Mittenthal and Hannah Thompson-Wieman for being our guests. For those interested in more information about this topic, please find links to additional materials in the show notes below this video. Please join us again next month when our Beef Roundtable discussion will delve into another important topic.